are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Then verse number 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Like I said a moment ago, we looked at John, and the verse opens up with John here. And so it's kind of good to already have gone and looked at the life of John, and now we're looking at some of his writings. But John wrote this, and in verse number 6, he mentions that we have been made kings and priests unto God. He says in verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want to look at those two titles, kings and priests. We have been made kings and priests unto the Lord, unto God. And I actually want to look at a comparison. Now, in the Old Testament, there's the priestly office. And the priestly office and the priests of the Old Testament, several priests, they have certain things that they do. Their office required a certain execution to it when it came to the tabernacle and the temple. But now, here in the New Testament, we're called priests. And tonight, I want to look at the comparison from Old Testament priests and how the Bible says that we are kings and priests unto God. Now, where he says kings in verse number 6, by way of introduction, it has a lot to do with the idea that we are triumphant over the enemy. We all know what the end of the book says. We know that we're going to reign triumphantly. And we know that the devil is, he's the one who's going to be cast into his own sea. The sea of fire, or the river, lake of fire. That's what I'm trying to say, lake of fire. But we're triumphant over him. And he's going to be the one in his own lake of fire at the end of the story. And so we are likened unto kings. We were living for King Jesus. We are kings as well because of him. And we are triumphant over the enemy. We are triumphant over sin, past sin, because of what King Jesus did for us. Jesus Christ, our past sins are gone. The penalty for sin is gone. We are no longer under condemnation. We are no longer under the wrath of God. Our sins have been purchased and paid for by Jesus. And so we are triumphant over sin, past sins. We are triumphant over the penalty of sin, and one day the presence of sin. And praise the Lord for that. One day when we get into heaven, no more sin. And so as you can see, there's a kingly ranking here. We have that title that we are kings. And so we're triumphant over the enemy. We're triumphant over sin, past sin, the penalty of sin, one day the presence of sin. We are triumphant over hell. We are triumphant over the grave. One day we'll be reigning kings with Jesus. And so there's the word, the title, the ranking of kings. He says, and hath made us kings. But then he says, priests, has made us priests. What does that mean, priests? And hath made us kings and priests unto God. Priest here refers to the fact that we are engaged in the holy service to God, holy services unto him. Excuse me. And so, just like in the Old Testament, there is the office of the priest. And these priests would offer sacrifices. They will be engaged in temple duties. And that's the same thing for us. We have a holy sacrifice to give to God, to present to him. In fact, you can look in 1 Peter 2:5. It actually gives reference to this. If you notice, turn to 1 Peter chapter number 2 for a second. I want you to notice There is a verse we could read in harmony with this verse. 1 Peter 2:5. I'm in James. Let me get to Peter. 1 Peter 2:5, he says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built upon a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." And so we can see here back in Revelation 1 and chapter number 6 where he says, "He hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father." Again, the word king has to do with our ranking, but then priest has to do with our practical living, offering holy sacrifices to him. And again, tonight, just for a few moments, I want to look at some things contrasted Old Testament, New Testament, the office of the high priest and his duties, and of course our title being called priest as well, and see how it plays out Old Testament versus New Testament, if there's some similarities here. Now, we're going to be in several places tonight again. Turn to Leviticus 1. Leviticus 1. Levite 1. Now, the duties of the high priest in the Old Testament have to do with offering sacrifices. The high priest was responsible for offering the sacrifices of the Jewish people. Leviticus chapter 1, I want you to notice in verse 5. The Bible says, "And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." And so what we see there is a sacrifice was offered by the priest. Speaks of Aaron and mentions Aaron's sons here and this priestly service having to do with sacrifice. Back in the New Testament, in fact, Hebrews 10 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "And every priest," notice this, "standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." Talking about that old priesthood. "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." So how does that contrast with this title we have of being kings and priests unto God? How does that contrast with New Testament priesthood as we are? Well, one of my favorite verses, Romans chapter number 12, in verse number 1 and 2, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren," you may just have to jot down these verses and look at them later or follow along. We'll park it in a few places, but we're going to move a little bit fast in the beginning. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And then it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And so the Old Testament priesthood offered a dead sacrifice. But we, having that entitlement of being priest unto God, we are to offer ourselves a living sacrifice. And so we're looking at contrast, the high priest office in the Old Testament comparable to Revelation 1:6 when he talks about, "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father." Now, not only the high priest, the priestly office in the Old Testament has to do with offering sacrifices, but it also has to do with offering first fruits. Back in Leviticus 23, Leviticus chapter 23, that allergy medicine has got my nose, it's supposed to dry my nose, and I got a dry throat anyway, so I got the side effects of a dry throat, and it didn't fix my runny nose. offering of first fruits, Leviticus 23. When the Israelites brought their first fruits to the Lord, the priests were to wave the offering before the Lord within the tabernacle. And in Leviticus 23, notice if you would verse number 10. Bible says, "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it." And so you see that the office of the priest here is to wave the sheaf offering, the first fruits. Verse number 10, that last phrase, it says, "the first fruits of your harvest." And so we see here that when the Israelites brought their first fruits to the Lord, the priests were to wave the offering before the Lord within the tabernacle. Now, New Testament. The Christian is to bring in their first fruits of all of their increase into the house of God for the ongoing of the ministry. Now, Proverbs 3:9 mentions it as a good starting place. There's no way I could mark all these pages, but in Proverbs 3:9, Bible says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." Again, we're looking at that entitlement, priests, kings and priests unto our God. And the Old Testament priest waved the first fruits or presented the first fruits. In Proverbs, we see here that we're to honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of thine increase. And also in 1 Corinthians 16. It might be good for me just to make some copies of these notes. 1 Corinthians 16, I want you to notice verse number 1. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." And so we're again looking at offerings, the first fruit offerings. And we've seen in the Old Testament that the priest was to take that first fruit offering and give it over. New Testament is the same thing. We are priests unto God, and yet we still have to give the Lord the first fruits, really, of everything. I was reading in Colossians chapter number 1 today, verse 18, where Paul uses the word preeminence. And he says that the Lord ought to be preeminent in all things. He ought to not only have first place in our money, have first place in our day, have first place in our thinking process, have first place in everything. And so we see that there is this terminology, first fruits. And the Old Testament priest is comparable to New Testament priest, that we are in the Lord unto God, and there's to be the first fruits offering. And of course, good old faithful Malachi chapter number 3. I want you to notice something else here. Where'd you go? Malachi number chapter 3. Says this, verse number 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Now we know here in Malachi that the tithes and offerings were to be presented to the Levites for the ongoing temple service. And we know that the Lord says here in verse number 8, will a man rob God? So chances are there were those who did not give for that temple service. And because of that, there was lack there. There was lack. And it carries over into the New Testament. We're here tonight and there's lights on. And we have heat or air conditioning. We have running water, and we have all these other things that we enjoy. Well, these things, they come about, and we have these things because of those offerings, the first fruits offerings. And we're supposed to give the first fruits of all of our income. There's the tithe, and the tithe here, it means a tenth. And then there's the offering, and the offering is above a tithe. It is separate than a tithe, an offering is. And in the Old Testament, it was used for the priesthood, the ongoing temple worship, the things that were needed there. And so in the New Testament, it's the same usage. We're to give first fruits unto the Lord of our increase. And he uses in Malachi storehouse in verse number 10, I believe it is. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. This is the storehouse. And so we see that there is a comparison from Old Testament priests to New Testament believers with that entitlement of being priest unto God, having to do with the first fruits. And on any given one of these points, you can spend weeks just on this point. But I want to move on a little bit if I could. And so there's the offering of first fruits, priests of the Old Testament. And our entitlement as being kings and priests, first fruits is still necessary, still has part. But then there's the teaching of God's law, the teaching of God's law. Leviticus chapter number 10. Take a little time on this one. In Leviticus 10, in verse number 8, we see that the priest was to teach Israel the laws of God. Leviticus 10 and verse number 8. Notice what the Bible says. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. Zero tolerance. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. And so there it is. It's the priest of the Old Testament. It's Aaron. And he's told that he no strong drink, no wine, is to be sober-minded when he goes in to speak God's word. It's the same thing in the New Testament. We are priests unto God. And the Christian is to study and teach the word of God as well to God's people, to lost people, to witness. 2 Timothy 2:15, I'll just give it to you. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Old Testament priests were teaching the word of God. New Testament priests are to teach the word of God. And that's you and I. Acts chapter number 2, I'll just give it to you. In verse 42, it has to do with the disciples going and the apostles going from house to house teaching the word of God. And so we see that there is a definite contrast. There's a definite resemblance, comparable. Old Testament priest, New Testament. I want you to notice something else. I like this one. Exodus 27. Exodus 27. Verse number 20 and 21, we see that it was the priest's job to keep the lamps burning in the tabernacle. Exodus 27, verse number 20. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel. How about that? He says in verse 1, to cause the lamp to burn always. And so it was his job, his son's job, to keep that lamp burning, to keep the oil going, to keep it operating, to keep it. And whenever the lamps were on, the whole house had light. Now, comparable to the New Testament, we know as priests unto God, we are called, Matthew 5:16, to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. That is the comparable Old Testament priest, New Testament priest unto God when it comes to the lamps burning, when it comes to letting our light shine. Now, something happened in 1 Samuel 3:3. There's literally about 100 different verses on here. I mean, every time I say something, it's here, it's there. But it's just amazing how the Word of God is, because it all literally ties in together. We see that Eli the priest let the lamp go out. In 1 Samuel 3:3, we won't labor in those verses right now. We got a ways to travel tonight. But Eli, the Bible says his eyes were getting heavy, and he allowed the light to go out, the lamp to burn out. And we know this is when Samuel was there, and he felt as though the Lord was calling. He thought it was Eli calling him, and then he perceived, Eli did, that it was the Lord calling Samuel. We know all that. But the case is that he let the light go out. And we as Christians, as New Testament priests unto God, we are to continually make sure that the flow of oil is coming in, the Holy Spirit. Like the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 foolish and the other 5 which had their oil filled. And so when the bridegroom came, they had enough to light to go out and meet him. Well, the same thing for you and I tonight. We are to make sure that nothing is stopping the oil flow, because when the Holy Spirit is working in our life and he's moving and operating, then we're giving off light, not only to those around us, but to the world. Again, Revelation says, chapter 1, verse 6, that we are priests unto God. And so we see that there's the lamps in the tabernacle that were lit, and they were to be continually lit. Now, there's another kind of fire I want to mention in the tabernacle, a little different from the lamps. Leviticus chapter number 6. I want you to notice here that there was a fire to keep burning as well. There were lamps to be burned, which gives light and illuminates in the service of the Lord. Same thing in our services here. We're to allow the oil to flow and to not be restricted. That way light can be exposed and men can be drawn to that light. But there was a fire that was to keep burning. Leviticus chapter 6, in verse number 12, we see that it was a responsibility of the priest to keep the fire burning on the altar. Leviticus 6, verse number 12. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire, listen to this, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. it shall never go out. This is a lot like the before lamps mentioned, but it has to do with devotion here. It was the responsibility of the priest to keep the fire on the altar burning. It's also our responsibility as pastor and teachers and just laymen, Christians, to keep things stirred up in our hearts and keep that fire burning. Not only the light burning to be a testimony, but keep that inward fire burning as well. And we see here in verse number 12, every morning wood was to be placed on this fire. And when the wood was placed on the fire in the morning, the fire had something to consume. Every morning we're to get in God's word. Y'all know this. Every morning we're to draw nigh unto him. He'll draw nigh unto us. We're to pray and get in his word and feast upon his word. That's what keeps the fire burning. And so we're to never let that go out. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1, Paul speaks to Timothy about that fire. He says this in 2 Timothy 1 in verse number 6. He says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God." The two words "stir up" literally means keep the fire going. "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." So we see New Testament priests unto God were to stir up that gift. What is it that you like doing for the Lord? Don't let that fire go out. What is it that you feel God has called you to do? And whenever you're doing it, you're the happiest. Keep fueling that fire. Lay wood on that every morning and ask God to make your fire grow into a bonfire, just a consuming fire that would consume everything that is not of God. Any kind of worldly desire. And this is my prayer. God, that you would consume everything in my life that might be worldly or prideful. Anything that's for self. Lord, just consume that. And I pray, Lord, that you would allow that the gift of preaching and teaching and loving people and ministry, let that just consume me totally. That's my prayer, you know. But it has to be given attention to. You know, there's a level of devotion there. We have to take in. We have to have communion with God. And we have to lay that wood on the fire. And when we do that, he promises that the fire won't go out. And sometimes we go through spells where we may miss a time. We may miss 2 days of devotion. We may even have devotion. But there may be times where we may be discouraged and we're not given full devotion to our time of devotion. And the fire, it will eventually trickle on down and become a little flame. But let us lay a log on that fire. Sometimes it's a matter of when the fire is getting ready to go out. Sometimes it's a matter of grabbing that spiritual rake and just running over the whatever's left and stirring up those little embers, you know. And then kind of like throwing some spiritual leaves on that spiritual fire and raking in those embers. And sometimes it takes work to stir up that gift of God that's within us. Because sometimes ministry can be hard. And so we're to keep the fire burning. But not only that, but we see that there is responsibility for the sanctuary when it comes to priests of the Old Testament and priests of the New Testament. Numbers chapter number 18, I want you to notice something here. Numbers 18, Numbers 18, verse number 1, and we're talking about the responsibility of keeping the sanctuary. We know it was the Levites who were responsible to take care of the tabernacle. In verse number 1, "And the Lord said unto Aaron, Thou and thy sons and thy father's house will with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary, and thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. and thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee and minister unto thee. But thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness, and they shall keep thy charge and the charge of all the tabernacle. Only they shall not come nigh the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar, that neither they nor ye also die. And they shall be joined unto thee, and keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation for all the service of the tabernacle. And a stranger shall not come nigh unto you. And ye shall keep the charge of the sanctuary, and the charge of the altar, and there will be no wrath any more upon the children of Israel. And I, behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. To you they are given as a gift for the Lord, to do the service of the tabernacle of their congregation. Therefore thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest office, for everything of the altar and within the veil, and ye shall serve. I have given your priest office unto you as a service of gift, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. You see, we have the priest here. We have the Levites, and the Levites were in charge to keep the tabernacle, the upkeep of the tabernacle. And along in here is where those tithes and offerings come into play, and to help upkeep the ongoing ministry of the tabernacle. The New Testament, as priests unto God, we all have a responsibility. Let's see, I'm jumping back over 1 Corinthians 4. I'll just give it to you and thumb your way back there. 1 Corinthians 4, when it talks about keeping God's house, he says, moreover, 1 Corinthians 4, 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, we're to be faithful stewards in all things, in keeping God's house and God's money and in our own families and all those other things. We're to be good stewards. 1 Timothy 3:15 is a couple other good verses. It says, let me get there. 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And so there's an emphasis on stewardship. There's an emphasis on the house of God, but also, we won't turn there for the sake of time tonight, but if you want to go back tonight and read Haggai chapter number 1, what you'll find there is that there's a call to build God's house and to keep God's house. And in fact, God spoke to the prophet to speak to the people. It says, you know, you're caring about your houses, your sealed houses and all the good things at your homes. Those things are nice and fancy, but God's house is lying waste. And so there was a call in Haggai to rebuild God's house. And so Old Testament, New Testament are very comparable in this office of the priest. Again, Revelation 1:6, the Bible says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So there's a responsibility for the sanctuary. Then there's the keeping of the fire. There's the keeping of the lamps. There's a teaching of God's law, offering of the first fruits, offering of the sacrifice. But then when it comes to the Old Testament in comparison to the New Testament priesthood, there's the gathering of public assemblies. Numbers chapter number 10. Excuse me. Numbers 10 and verse number 7. Listen to what the Bible says. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. Old Testament priests, there were to be the sounding of the trumpets, and this was to the call of public assembly. Sometimes it was for a gathering public assembly. Other times it was for war. But in comparison to the New Testament priest, it's every believer's job to go out and to compel them to come into God's house. Luke 14:23 mentions that. Go out to the highways and hedges and compel them that my house may be full. There's also another New Testament trumpet. We know when the trump of God shall sound, there'll be a gathering in the cloud. And what a day that'll be. let's see. So there's the gathering of public assemblies, Old Testament priest versus New Testament priest, as we are. Then there's the leading of the nations into battle. It was the priest's job to lead the people into battle with the Ark of God blowing trumpets. Joshua chapter 6, I'll give it to you, let your thumbs rest a minute. Joshua chapter number 6, I want you to notice that getting ready to go into battle, verse number 1, and we're looking at leading the nation into battle. The priest was, and the Ark of God was involved, blowing of trumpets was involved. This is comparable to the New Testament. And we'll mention the comparison in just a moment, but in Joshua 6, 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear the ark, and 7 priests shall be before the ark, okay? 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And we know what happened. Victory was given to Joshua. But the ark of the covenant was God's presence. It was God's presence being with them. And again, blowing of the trumpets, the blowing of the trumpets was either a gathering of public assemblies or a call for war here. It was commanded for them to blow the trumpets and for the ark of God to go before them. This was the office and the job of the priest in the Old Testament to make sure the ark of God was present and to make sure those trumpets were being blown when it came time for battle. Now, New Testament, it's the job of the Christian to be dressed in all of God's armor to go to battle against Satan and sin. We know the same way the Old Testament priests, Levites, carried the Ark of the Covenant. That was God's presence with them. Okay? And they went into battle. Same thing for us. Ephesians 6 talks about that. To take up the whole armor of God and to wear that. To take upon us. And he mentions all the pieces of armor. He talks about the shield and the sword of the Spirit. He even sums it all up with prayer. Also, the pastor is to warn and encourage the people of this truth. How that there's a real enemy, there's a real devil, there's real sin, there's the flesh. And like the Old Testament priests, the Ark of the Covenant, we are to put on the armor of God. Like the Old Testament priests, we're to sound the trumpet to let others know there's a real enemy out there. 1 Timothy 6:12. I had to write a paper on all this, by the way, back in seminary. And so, long live seminary. What verse did I say? 1 Timothy 6:12. I told Christy the other day, you know, you're studying and you're trying to figure out which direction the Lord wants you to go in. And sometimes it's a battle and you just read. And for too long, sometimes everything just runs together and you just got to step away. And 1 Timothy 6:12, this is part of the priest office, New Testament priest. Not only were to the ark of God, as the Old Testament priest did, we know Jesus is with us, but we're to put on his armor, the armor of God, but we're to warn others. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And this is Paul charging Timothy. And he's telling him, he said, listen, Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. There is a real battle there. Take upon you the whole armor. Of course, he says that in Ephesians. But that's the New Testament priest unto God in comparison to the Old Testament priest unto the Lord when it comes to leading the nation into battle. And one more thing, we'll be through. The Old Testament priest was to be a blessing. New Testament priests unto God are to be blessings. Numbers chapter number 6. I want you to notice this blessing here. Numbers 6, verse number 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. This being a blessing to the children of Israel, Old Testament priest, New Testament, one of my favorite verses is in the book of Philemon in verse number 7. Where Paul mentions and says that Philemon was a refreshing Christian. He was a blessing. And in that verse he says that the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother, is what that verse says in verse number 7. Philemon verse number 7. Meaning that Philemon was a blessing. Old Testament priests were blessings. He had a blessing here that he gave to the children of Israel. Now in the New Testament. I said all that to say tonight that we're to be a blessing the same way that the Old Testament priests were. We're called priests, kings and priests. We're to take upon us the whole armor of God. We're to warn others that there's a real devil out there. We're to gather public assemblies in the sense of going out to the highways and to the hedges. We're to offer sacrifices the same way in the Old Testament, but living sacrifices. The first fruits, Old Testament, New Testament, first fruits of all of our income, were to let the Lord be preeminent in all things, meaning have first place in all things. Old Testament priests taught God's law. We're to teach God's law. There's a lamp of God in the tabernacle in the Old Testament. We are to let our light shine before men that they may see our good works. Old Testament priests kept the fire going. Their level of devotion, we're to keep our fire burning. That level of devotion. And then the Old Testament priests, the Levites, were responsible for the sanctuary. And same for the New Testament. There is to be an upkeep regularly for God's house. And tonight, that's the lesson. That's just comparable offices of the Old Testament priest and the New Testament priest. The Bible says that Revelation 1:6 hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Father God, we're thankful tonight. Lord, I know that was a mouthful. But Lord, help us continue on this path. Lord, it just feels that things are getting a little deeper from your word the past few Wednesday nights. And Lord, we want to go deeper. Let us, Lord, ever be learning your word. Never be satisfied with just getting by, Lord. That's not our desire. But help us, Lord, to go after you, learn after you. What a blessing it is to know that the Old Testament is still being used today. We are the New Testament church, but the entire Bible is for our edification. And Lord, we just pray that, I pray, something was said tonight that may be a help to someone during the course of this week. We pray for the services on Sunday. Again, bless tremendously in the speakers who will be speaking. We love you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.